Hey there, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the Eyes Free Sports podcast. This is your host, once again, Greg Lindberg. And on this episode, we feature part 2 of our conversation with Kyle Kuhn. Kyle is the very accomplished blind triathlete we spoke with in episode 3 of the podcast. And in this conversation, we talk about the different adaptations that Kyle uses as far as running and swimming go. And then we dive headfirst, literally, into Kyle's training and efforts to make it into the 2020 Paralympic Games in Tokyo, Japan. I did want to briefly talk about, as far as swimming and running go, and the adaptations there. I understand, as far as running goes, that is it like a bungee cord or some kind of rope that you use with a guide?
There's multiple ways you can run with a guide. I've tried numerous ways.
Yep.
So I have run where my guide and I each hold on to like a cord or a strap or a shoelace or something along those lines, where we each hold it in our hand. That method works for a lot of people. I did not particularly like it, especially as I got faster. So as I got faster, what we did was we had that same strap that we were using to, you know, we were holding on to with our hands. We found a couple of other straps and wrapped it like a belt around our waist. And then that strap that was connecting our hands, we connected the belts to that strap. So we were actually running, my guide and I were running side by side, and my guide could give me verbal directions, like step up, turning left, turning right, something along those lines. But I could run with my arms free and not holding on to anything or anyone.
Yeah.
And if I drifted away from my guide, then the tether is the technical term for whatever you use that connects you and your guide. The tether would kind of get tight and wouldn't let me go too far away from my guide, and my guide could give me verbal correction to get me back on track. So now racing triathlon and stuff, I we've modified that tether a little bit further. So we have these two, it's kind of an elastic belt that goes around my waist, and then it's a woven nylon strap that loops through that and then goes to another belt that wraps around my guide's waist. And the tether that separates us is only 50 centimeters long, so 19 inches in length. So we're fairly close to each other, and we wound up knocking elbows a lot. But it's a fun way to run. And when you're running really fast, you got to be able to pump your arms and move your arms. And it's a way, and it really it makes me running with the tether anchored at my waist, it allows me to kind of almost feel like I am running free and not relying on somebody as much. For swimming in a pool, I just swim just like anybody else would. I usually swim in a lane, either by the wall or right next to a lane line, and I can keep myself on track by occasionally brushing the wall or the lane line with my hand. And I usually either count my strokes or always keep a hand out in front of me so that I don't smack my head against the wall when I come to the end of the lane. But in open water, so all the triathlons that I compete in are held in open water venues. So we either swim in like a lake, a river, or a bay, or the ocean, or something along those lines. And I'm required to have a guide with me for those open water events. And how we do that is, so I swim with, I basically take a bungee cord and I tie it around my upper left thigh. And then the bungee cord is 80 centimeters long. So it's about 31 and a half inches. And that wraps around and ties to my guide's upper right thigh. And we swim side by side, and my guide keeps me on track and like tells me which way to turn by using a series of taps on my shoulder. So if my guide wants me to turn left, he double taps my left shoulder. If he wants me to turn right, it's a single tap on my left shoulder. If he needs me to stop, like do an emergency stop for any reason, he like grabs the back of my neck. Because it's very, very difficult when you're swimming, and you're swimming at a race effort to, you know, your ears are full of water and it's like, you can't hear anything if your guide is trying to yell at you. So my guide and I have developed a series of those nonverbal cues, when we're racing, and swimming in open water so that I know which way to go and that we don't waste energy unnecessarily by swimming farther than we have to.
Right. Yeah. I know. Like you mentioned about just not being able to hear, you know, in the water, and that's something I never thought of, but it's a pretty cool concept.
And that was one of the biggest things that took some getting used to, when I started doing triathlon was, you know, and, you know, swimming, I'd spent time in the pool as a kid, but it wasn't my favorite thing to do because, you know, if I was underwater, the only sense I had that was working was my sense of touch, you know, because I relied so much on my hearing and my sense of smell and my sense of touch when I was out of the water and on dry land, that taking that, you know, those other senses away, it was very disconcerting. And that took a while to get used to, but eventually you figure out how to do it and learn to enjoy it as well.
Yeah, very nice. Definitely want to talk about your experience at the Olympic Training Center and talk to me about how you actually got to go over there and what that whole experience has been like.
Sure. So in 2018, I was invited to participate in a couple of triathlon camps. And I showed up at a camp in San Diego in January of 2018 and was just training. And the person who ran the camp pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I really think you need to race on the international circuit. Male visually impaired triathlon is going to be is very likely going to compete at the Paralympics in 2020. And I think you have the potential to represent the U.S. if you train really hard and work at it." So she really pushed hard for me to get my paperwork in and to get onto the elite triathlon circuit. And so I did. I did an international race in early 2018. And then later in 2018, just before, it was just a couple of months before my third Ironman, when I broke 11 hours, I came to a camp hosted by USA Triathlon at the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, and the head coach of that training camp pulled me aside and he said, "You know, Kyle, you're pretty good at this sport, and they're opening up spots here at the USA Triathlon is opening up spots here at the training center for para triathletes, and I think you should apply to be one of the residents and come live here at the training center because you have a real shot at representing Team USA in Tokyo." And so when USA Triathlon opened up the application for para triathletes to live at the training center, I sent in my application. I interviewed with the coach who was the coach of the resident program here at the training center. And I also interviewed with a few other people from USA Triathlon. And then I went and did a second elite international race, did very well, took second place at that race. And they extended an invitation to me to come and live full time at the training center. So in January 2019, I packed up and I moved. I was actually living in a small town called Carbondale, Colorado. So just down valley from Aspen, Colorado, I had moved there at the end of 2016 for some personal reasons and to be closer to my family, because my entire family had moved out there. Moved from Carbondale to Colorado Springs and took up residence at the training center. And triathlon has essentially become my full-time thing. So,
wow.
Whether you want to call it a job, a career, a passion, I have lived and breathed triathlon essentially for the last couple of years, but really the last year on a real full-time basis. So I'm in the water, I'm in the pool 5 days a week. I'm on the bike, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. I'm running 3 or 4 days a week. And then we also do a lot of, we get into the gym and we lift and strength train 3 days a week as well. So it's quite a busy schedule. And then in addition, I get onto rosters for and start lists for international races, and I travel all over the world, and I get to race in some pretty cool places. So in 2019, I raced in Sarasota, Florida. I raced in Milan, Italy. I raced in a small town called Magog, just outside of Montreal in Canada. I raced in Long Beach, California, and then I also raced over in Tokyo, Japan last August for a World Cup that was actually being used as the test event for the Paralympic Games. And then this year, it's looking like I'll get to, again, race in Sarasota, hopefully go over to Italy, Japan, and possibly over to Spain or France for some other races as well. It's quite the busy lifestyle. But one that I absolutely would not trade. I absolutely love what I do, and it's a blast.
Wow, that's amazing. I am curious, what as far as your diet, what kind of diet are you currently on?
I'm on what's called the seafood diet. I see food, I eat it, and I eat lots of it.
Gotcha.
No. So that seafood diet, seafood diet. Yeah.
Yep.
No, it's I eat just a very, very balanced diet, a very mix of lean meat, lean protein, non-starchy vegetables. I eat lots and lots of vegetables, and then I eat high quality complex carbohydrates. But I don't really have any major restrictions per se, except for the restrictions that I personally put on myself. For example, like right now, I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm not eating desserts like ice cream or cake or anything like that. So I'm very, just trying to start off the new year right and try and lean out a little bit more, so that I'm a little bit lighter, a little bit more muscular and faster, for the start of the race season coming up in March. So just trying to lean out and have my body be as primed and humming as it can be, and you know, have it be just a real athletic machine.
And then let's talk about the Paralympics. Obviously, the 2020 Paralympics are coming up later this year in Tokyo, like you mentioned. And what's kind of your current standing? What do you have to actually do to qualify to compete in that event?
So right now I'm ranked ninth in the world for male vision impaired triathletes. So we compete on it's called the International Triathlon Union Circuit. And all of our races are, it's a 750-meter swim, a 20-kilometer bike, and a 5-kilometer run. And we have this circuit of races that we do. There's a ranking system, so every race is worth a certain number of points. And you are allotted a certain number of points based on where you finish in those races. And then your world ranking and your Paralympic ranking are determined by a certain number of races that you compete in and you're placing, et cetera, et cetera. But how I will get to race in Tokyo, so USA Triathlon has laid out a certain selection criteria, and it's like a 10-page document that is very boring and very dry to read. But you know, it was something that I had to read to understand. But in a nutshell, I essentially have to be one of the top two Americans at every single race that I compete at. And I need to essentially be at worst top four at every race that I compete at overall. So I have, you know, I essentially have to be in an ideal world, top three, no lower than the second American, and top three overall. But you know, top four is also really, really good as well. And so the goal is just to get into as many of the ITU races that I can, race my butt off, hopefully place really, really high at each of those races. And then USA Triathlon will sit down probably in June, late June, and they'll look at all of the standings and how each of us has done during the course of the season. And they will make a determination and select the two best athletes that they feel have the best chance, you know, to have a chance at getting onto the podium in Tokyo. And right now there's three of us that are American that are ranked in the top 10 in the world. We have a guy who's ranked fourth in the world right now, and then another guy who's ranked eighth in the world, and then myself, who's ranked ninth. And so we're all three of us are going to be battling it out for two spots.
Wow.
So it's going to be a very fun and exciting, very, very fun and exciting season. So we've got a race that will be coming up for us, where all three of us actually get to compete. Will be coming up in March in Sarasota, Florida. It's our American Continental Championships, so we'll all three get to race there, and that'll be a big selection event that USA Triathlon will look at to kind of determine which of us is you know, starting off the season on the right foot. and then they'll take a look at the World Championships, which will be in May. They'll look and see how we perform at that race, and then there's a couple of other big races. There's a race over in Japan, and then a race up in Montreal that they'll look at as well. But essentially, how I get to Tokyo: race really hard and place really, really well. and just be the absolute best that I can be. And hopefully I'll find out probably by the end of June if I'll be going to Tokyo. Fingers crossed that I will be.
Yeah.
And then the Paralympic Games take place August 25th to September 6th, and the triathlon events take place on August 29th and 30th. So it's a really, really exciting, really, really exciting year. And I'm just pumped up and amped to get the season started.
Very cool. And hey, I definitely wish you the best of luck with that. And, you know, would love to see you, you know, even if you don't make it. I'm sure just the experience for the future is just tremendous. So
I got into triathlon because it was a distraction and all that. But hey, I'm a competitor, and you know, I tell people all the time, look, my goal for 2020 is to get on that start line in Tokyo. So I'm definitely a competitor, and I'm gonna bust my butt to do it. But you know, like you said, even if I don't make it this time, hopefully there's another. You know, there's always other goals, and there's always other experiences. And so I'm just like I said, I'm just really just grateful and thankful that I'm able to that I was able to turn a hobby into something that kind of sort of looks like a career. So
absolutely,
I'm one of the lucky ones, and I'm very, very fortunate.
Yeah, no question. And just to wrap up here, if you could just give some advice to someone who might be listening to this, who is not really active at all, you know, let's just say, for example, someone who is visually impaired or blind, and they're looking to just start, you know, whether it's walking or perhaps even tandem biking, or, you know, what kind of advice would you give to that person?
You know, it's not to borrow a phrase from a major sport apparel brand, but I mean, the biggest thing is to just get out there and do it. If you really want to make a change, then you have to commit and you have to be consistent with doing it. So someone once said, you know, a single journey, a 1,000-mile journey starts with a single step. And it's the same with, you know, if you're blind or vision impaired and you're looking to start walking or cycling, or you eventually want to do a marathon or a triathlon or something like that. First step is deciding that, yes, I want to do it. Second step is planning out how you go about doing it. For me, that was getting online and finding people that wanted to guide me. So I highly encourage, if you're interested in, you know, walking or running or triathlon or cycling or anything like that, I recommend a website called unitedinstride.com. Go on there, create a profile. You can search for guides or other blind athletes in your zip code, your state, anything along those lines. You can send them an email. We have tons and tons of Facebook groups. So I'm a part of several Facebook groups that are very open and welcoming to blind and visually impaired runners, walkers, triathletes. And we especially love beginners. So two Facebook groups that I can think of right off the top of my head that I'm a part of is a Facebook group called Running Eyes. So get on there, join the group. And just, you know, post in there and say, hey, I'm new. I wanna start. And how do I get started? And then another Facebook group that I am also in is called Blind and Visually Impaired Triathletes and Guides. And so it's those are both communities, both Running Eyes and Blind and Visually Impaired Triathletes and Guides are communities where a lot of blind, visually impaired, and sighted runners and triathletes and endurance athletes in general, we come together and we share tips and tricks. And I have found guides through those Facebook groups. I've found guides through unitedinstride.com. So like I say, I mean, you just got to get up and get moving, and don't be afraid to, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to a stranger or reach out to a friend or a colleague or something like that. Cause you know, everyone wants to help. Everyone wants to be active. And my coach here at the training center tells me all the time, you know, things don't have to be complicated. If you make a commitment to getting out and walking for, even if it's just 5, 10, 15 minutes a day, that can turn into running for 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. And that eventually turns into, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Then before you know it, you're doing a marathon. Then you're getting bored with marathons, and you're doing triathlons, or you're doing mountain ultras or something like that. So if you want to get started, I would suggest, you know, just joining the communities, getting into the community, unitedinstride.com, Running Eyes, which is on Facebook, and then Blind and Visually Impaired Triathletes and Guides as well, are just a couple of examples. So get involved in the community, reach out, and don't be afraid to be slow. Don't be afraid to fail, because you know, failures are where we get our biggest successes. So.
Yeah, very well said. And I think I'll myself would love to check out those websites and Facebook groups. You got my juices flowing just talking to you. So.
Hey man, dude, I'm on those. I'm in those groups just about every day. So if I don't see Greg Lindberg in there in the next, like, I don't know, 24 hours, then I'm gonna start pestering you.
Yeah, you're gonna hold me to it, right?
Heck yeah, man.
Nice. All right. So just final thing here, speaking of social media, if anyone out there wants to follow your journey, how can they find you online?
So you can follow me through my website, which is kylecoon.com, kylecoon.com. But the easiest way to keep up with me on a daily or weekly basis is probably through Facebook. So you can go to facebook.com/KyleCoonSpeaks. That's KyleCoonSpeaks. And then anyone who is on Instagram can also follow me on Instagram at IronKyle, and that is EyeRonKyle. And then I am on Twitter as well, just not as active on Twitter, but you can also give me a follow there. And my Twitter handle is at Kyle_Coon, so at KYLE_COON. So again, facebook.com/KyleCoonSpeaks. You know, please like and follow my page, and then Instagram at IronKyle, EyeRonKyle, and then on Twitter at Kyle_Coon.
Awesome. And we can definitely throw the links and everything into the show notes so people can have those awesome on there as well.
Sweet. Awesome. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
Definitely. Yeah. And hey, I just want to say thank you so much, Kyle, for joining us here on the Eyes Free Sports podcast. You were very generous with your time and insight and very motivating, inspiring, and I just cannot thank you enough.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on, and I really appreciate it. And I want to be a resource to any of your listeners. So, you know, again, just contact me through social media. And if there's a way that I can help anyone out there to get up and get moving, I want to do it. And, you know, spread the word about, you know, because, you know, sports and athletics and physical activity, I mean, you know, the beauty of sport is that it brings the world and community together. Sport has the power to change lives, and it certainly changed my life from the time I was 6 or 7 years old all the way up to, you know, now being 28, 29 years old. I mean, you know, sports and physical activity have been a huge part of my life, and it could be a game changer for anyone at any stage of life. And so, you know, thanks for having me on, and looking forward to hearing future episodes with your other guests as well.
Cool. Alrighty. Again, thanks so much, Kyle.
Awesome.
Be sure to follow the Eyes Free Sports podcast at facebook.com/eyesfreesports and on Twitter at eyesfreesports.